Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning, Roto Experts.
To the end zone! It's caught! Touchdown! Oh my God!
The mark of fantasy excellence.
It's caught for a touchdown!
You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts in the morning.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
All right, we're back for hour number two of Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Joe Galina joined by George Kurtz on this Sunday morning. Sean Engel pushing all the right buttons behind the glass, keeping us flying straight. We were talking some fantasy baseball. We'll continue to do that. But at the end of the first hour, we will talk a little football. And why don't we continue talking a little football? The NFL Combine workouts are kind of like winding down tomorrow. They started on Friday. They run through tomorrow. Like we were talking, NFL keeping itself relevant all year long. Just take a look at the calendar in the NFL, George. March 11th, like I said, the combine workouts end on Monday the 4th. March 11th to March 13th, teams are permitted to start negotiations with the agents of players who will become unrestricted free agents when their 2018
legalized tampering. Contract. Gotta love it.
Yeah.
How does that make any sense?
Right. And then on March 13th at 4 o'clock, that's the first day of the 2019 NFL season for business purposes, right? So teams have to make sure that they're under the 2019 salary cap, right? So that's going to be a busy day because after that 4 p.m. Time slot, the free agent signings could take place. Trades are announced. There's lots of trades that already have been announced, but they could be officially announced, right? And then April 1st, clubs that hired a new head coach after the end of the 2018 regular season can begin off-season workout programs, right? So technically, new coaches haven't been able to really interact with their players, right? April 19th, deadline for restricted free agents to sign their offer sheets. And then another fun time, George, because like you, little by little, I've been getting into college football more and more as the years have gone on. April 25th through the 27th, the NFL draft in Nashville, Tennessee. So that's something to look forward to.
Football, it just never ends.
Mm-hmm.
It literally just never ends. You know, I just find it a little ironic. I'm a big draft guy. I love the draft. But I'm not a college guy. You know, I used to be a college guy, Joe. Back in the 80s, I was an SMU guy when they had Eric Dickerson, Craig James. And then the SMU ended up getting the death penalty, which, of course, wasn't the death penalty. But they had their program disbanded. And I sort of lost interest again until the 90s, early 90s, when Jimmy Johnson became head coach of the Cowboys. And then with the Miami Hurricanes, because he knew college so well, I followed it a little bit more then. And because a lot of my buddies were big college football fans. And then when that ended, mine went away. For me, their justification is pretty simple. Sundays are all about NFL for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, literally, I'm up by 8, and, you know, you're watching team working, you know, writing and answering questions that we do, and then lineups, and then football, watching football all day, the radio. I'm doing football, you know, 16 hours on Sunday. And the wife knows this. Family knows this. Yeah, that's my day. It's not your day. Right. It's mine. Mine. So if I were to do that on Saturday, too, I wouldn't have a marriage, okay? I live with a whole bunch of women. They would have me, you know, staked up in the backyard, and it wouldn't be funny. It wouldn't be friendly to me. So, you know, I give the families they have Saturdays, Sundays of mine during football season. That's just the way it is. It's also the best thing about getting married a little later in life, by the way. You know, because I got married when I was, okay, I do the math here, 30, 31. So,
carry the one.
You told me there'd be no math, Joe. You know, now I got to do math.
Hey, at least you didn't have to use pi.
Oh, Common Core math. Don't get me started on Common Core. But what I mean is, you know, my wife knew it already, you know, before we got married. Listen, you know, I'm home on Sundays. I'm home most of the time. Mm-hmm. But I watch the games. I don't drink, right. Don't smoke, I don't go to bars.
It's not like you go cruising, to the bar and watch 12 hours of football, right?
Right. I'm home and I'm with the kids, you know. It's not like I can only watch the games. I do other things in the house as well, but I watch the games. What I do, you know, it keeps me sane. Okay, mm-hmm. Watching the game. It's my reality show. I'm not watching Survivor or You Can't Dance or American Idol, whatever all this crap is on TV.
Well, you should be watching Survivor. The other ones, forget about it. But Survivor's a good one.
Survivor probably would intrigue me a little bit, but also, if you think this stuff is truly reality, you're on drugs.
Well, it's edited. Survivor is reality, but it's edited so that it's entertaining.
Keep believing that. They're not pushing certain people who are more entertaining for TV purposes. You keep believing that.
Yeah, that's part of editing, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not buying it. My mother lives for these shows, and I don't care. Don't care. You know, even really, what are good shows on TV nowadays?
It's all Netflix. Whenever you have a conversation with someone about what you're watching, well, what are you streaming? What are you watching on Hulu? What are you watching on Netflix? The big networks are hurting. I mean, there's only a few shows that people talk about on the big networks. So there's really stuff.
I don't watch. I don't care about any show on the big network. I don't think there's one show on a broadcast network, ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, CW, that I truly care about. I mean, really, what's one show? Anybody?
Well, we've been watching Big Bang, and it, this is the last
Never
year
seen
of it,
it,
too, so we're interested. Yeah, it's a good show. I mean, you know, I like comic books and stuff like that, so, you know, the underlying theme is these guys get together and they're big nerds or whatever, so I have a little bit of an interest. And it's a funny show, let's face it, in my opinion. But
I've heard good things about it, but I've never seen it.
Yeah. Right.
And the family we watch, Cuco is hot.
Yes, that
probably
helps.
Should watch it.
Yeah. And it's on, it's in syndication. So
I'm married,
on, like,
not
you know,
dead.
Hours and hours, you know, during the day. And you know what, to keep peace, you know, we started watching This Is Us. Which is a sappy
never seen
show
that
tries to get you to cry every week, but you know it's kind of like it's my wife's show, you know. So, but Survivor is a show that I get to watch with my daughter. Like she'll text me early in the day, "Hey, Survivor tonight," you know. And there's, as you'll notice, George, because you're a family guy, as your kids get a little older, you hold on to the little things that you could continue to do as they grow, and you know, expand and, you know, start doing their own thing. But there are certain things that you cherish that you're able to do with your kids. But anyway, I'm getting
sappy. My kids don't watch
TV. This is a sports show. What are we talking about here?
My kids.
You're the kids that are of the generation like mine that most of the stuff that they watch is streaming, you know?
Yes. They watch YouTube. So. They watch a lot of YouTube videos and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they don't watch TV at all. I don't think there's one TV show they watch. It's not, I never see them watching TV. They're always on their devices. I mean, always on their devices. You know, it's just amazing how things have changed from when you and I were kids. Where, let's face it, we wanted to get as far away from mom and dad as possible. But in this day and age, they're always around, either here or right next door. Not like I have to go. I don't have to look hard to find them.
Which isn't a bad thing. That's a good thing. But I mean, you don't stream any shows, George? You're mostly it's just 98% sports on your end.
Yeah, mainly. I mean, listen, I'll record some shows, but I don't care about them. And I record them, but I don't really watch them. They're just on in the background. I do like to have something on in the background, as you said, when I'm writing or compiling, whatever stats, whatever it might, you know, something on in the background. But I don't care. Obviously, if I cared about them, I'd be watching them. So, you know, the shows like the NCIS, sure, it's okay. But I'm not sitting down and watching it. It's rare I sit down and just watch a show. Usually, I'm almost always 90% of the time doing something else. The only show I found myself over the years that I don't do that for used to be Walking Dead. But not even that show, yeah. I don't care anymore. You know, that show's going to
Yeah, we kind of watched that one. Yeah, but you're right. It's changed.
And Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm. Game and of that's Thrones, coming back in April.
Yes, looking forward to, mm-hmm. to that. But
Winter's
Game of Thrones
is coming.
For us, it's already here. You have no choice but to pay attention to Game of Thrones because they have, you know, 6-7 different storylines going on at once. And if you don't pay attention, you can't follow it. So that show, I will.
You almost got to rewatch that. I might like rewatch that before April if I can, just to catch up because you forget it's been so long. And like you said, there's so many different storylines going on there. That
you're 100% correct.
Yeah,
that's a show. Where I'll buy the when it's done. I'll buy the whole series on DVD, and that'll be great because you can watch it again and that's what is going on. You know, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. You'll see things you never saw before. And I like the show on Amazon Prime, Bosch. This is
never saw it. Yeah,
a police detective show. It's with a I forget the guy's real name, Titus Welliver or something like that. But he's a character guy. You've seen him act in other shows, and I like him. And that's a good. It's like it's an LA crime show, and I enjoy that show.
Umbrella Academy. I watched two episodes on Netflix. That seems kind of interesting. Of course, classics that look. If you've never seen Breaking Bad, you got to watch that one. That's just like one of the best shows of all time.
I've seen Breaking Bad twice.
Yeah, yeah. Ozark is
Better
a pretty
Call
good one on Netflix. Oh yeah, and I got to catch up on the most recent season of that. I'm waiting for the latest season to come on Netflix for that. But plenty. You know, we'll end this here and then talk some football. I want to talk a little Todd Gurley and Jason Witten, and then we'll talk some more combine. It just goes to show you with all the different ways that we have of viewing shows these days, how many shows never got made when we were kids. You know, because you only had ABC, CBS, and ABC, CBS, and NBC as the major networks. You know, how many scripts never were read or turned into, you know, movies or TV shows? But now there's so many outlets where they can, with the Hulus, the Netflixes, the Amazon Primes, and whatever. So I'll just say that. But there you go. So let's talk a little football. We got a little clarity on the Todd Gurley situation this week, right? With that troublesome knee. So reports are that he's dealing with some arthritis, and he's considering a stem cell treatment on his knee. In case you forgot, Todd Gurley, superstar running back for the Rams. So, George, if you own shares of Todd Gurley in a dynasty league, how does this news make you feel? You know, you almost, in a way, I was thinking about this morning. You know, maybe if there was like a little cleanup surgery that he needed, at least you could heal from that. Like arthritis, okay, you know, he's thinking about stem cell treatment. Arthritis is kind of something that lingers, I feel, like for a while. I mean, you could negate the effects of it, but does it worry you about Todd Gurley?
I still don't know if I'm buying that this is the entire reason. You know, they've lied to us since day one. You know, and I think now they're still trying to do a little CYA here. So I don't know if I'm truly buying this, but am I worried? Sure. Sure. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a keeper league, you keep you. What are you going to do? If you're drafting, you got to be drafting tomorrow, tonight. I'm not taking him number one, where, you know, 2 months ago, he was number one. You know, up until week 14, he was your number one pick.
Yes.
You know, easily. It wasn't even a thought process. He was your number one overall pick.
Right.
Now he's not. You know, I think it's really that simple. And I talked to Cam yesterday. Okay, we talked about Todd Gurley. Where would you take him in the first round? He's still a first round pick. I believe that. But I guess the game is, who would you take? Who would you take above him? You know, I would take Barkley
to me,
above him.
Saquon Barkley, right? Ezekiel Elliott.
I would take Elliott above him. Mm-hmm. You know, what about Kamara? What about we're assuming PPR league, by the way. Assuming PPR league. So what about Kamara? What about CMC? That's Christian McCaffrey. You know, do we take
They've
him?
Said that they might lighten his load a little bit, but he's still going to be a major force there, no?
I think he has to be. Yeah. Right? They don't have much else there. All right, so he has to be a major force there. So you know, you keep going on down the list here. We're not even talking about wide receivers yet. You know, would you take DeAndre Hopkins above him? You know, Devontae Adams, would you think about taking him? You know, in an offense that really should be better. I probably wouldn't take Julio Jones above him. Le'Veon Bell is probably going to depend upon where he's at. So right now I wouldn't take Bell above him because I don't know where he's at.
I'd still take Gurley over Bell. the one-year layoff and the fact that the rumors of him having ballooned up to 260, which I get it. Look, you're not playing football. You're eating probably as if you were working out like a fiend, like you normally, because you're a professional athlete, and he could probably get back into great shape. But the year off worries me a little bit, and the miles and miles of running that he's done across his career is a little concerning. But that's just me.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I agree. Mm-hmm. I have no issue with it. But what I'm pointing, I'm trying to point out here is there, you know, you don't know anymore. Like I said, before week 14, he was your number one pick. It was easy. You got the number one pick, Curly. You know, and I have the number one pick in the league. It doesn't draft till August, obviously. But and now I don't almost certainly won't be Curly. This is also a two-quarterback league, so it may not have been Gurley anyway. But you get my point. Even if I had the number one pick, it's not going to be him. Right now, if I had the number one, I'm probably – it's between Barkley and Elliott. Yeah, that's really what it comes down to,
with
Barkley and Elliott. Mm-hmm. And I think I'd go Barkley. I think I'd trust the Giants' offense a little bit more than I trust Dak and the Cowboys. But once again, a lot of that depends on what's happening.
I don't think there's a wrong answer there.
I would agree. Yeah, that's also true. Mm-hmm. You know, really, you can't go wrong, and no one's gonna yell at you for taking one or the other. Okay, you find you run with it. But really, where does Gurley go? I said the other guys: Kamara, CMC, Hopkins, Devontae Adams. These are guys off the top of my head. There may be some others here that you could throw in there. What do you do? Antonio Brown, wherever he ends up, could you take him above him? So this is where it becomes interesting here. You know, so I think Gurley. I just don't know if I buy it, Joe, this is the only problem. Oh, no, it was just tendonitis, arthritis, whatever it is, and he's okay here. They couldn't get this under control in 6 weeks? Really?
Right.
I mean, when was the last time you heard of a player missing this much time for a tendonitis, arthritis? So I just don't know if I'm fully buying this.
Yeah, you don't know what to believe, you're right, because even there were some questions about, you know, just with his head in the game, that in terms of, getting down on himself when he wasn't performing well. Another thing, you know, mental illness is something to be taken very seriously, but, you know, you break a bone, you could fix it. Mental, you know, your mental approach to a game is something that you really need to develop over time. So, you know, I don't want to blow it out of proportion, but there's a lot of different potential reasons why, you know, he kind of finished the season the way he did. But I don't know. What'd you end up thinking? I mean, in terms of would you – because I know you're a kind of a conservative drafter like me, and, you know, that first-round pick, let's say if you had a top-five pick, you want to make sure it's someone that, you know, has a potential to have the least amount of risk. So for me, of those guys, of the Barclays, the Elliots, the Kamara, the CMC, I put Gurley, as of right now, without doing a lot of research, I put him at number five. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I think Barkley and Elliott are easy choices to go above him. Kamara, if Ingram doesn't come back, I think he's an easy choice to go above him as well. It gets interesting after that. You know, so you said four of it is around where I start to look at him. This is why I want to draft as late as possible, so we'll have as much information as possible.
Yeah. We'll continue talking a little football talk here. Jason Witten, a little combine action. Then we get back to fantasy baseball as well. Listening to Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Gotta love Rush on a Sunday morning. Roto Experts in the morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And hey, the 2019 NFL Scouting Combine is in full swing. And for serious players, fantasy football has now become a year-round past time. Roto Experts has you covered with their NFL 365 fantasy football package, including the best math-based seasonal projections and rankings available anywhere on the internet. Davis Maddock and the Roto Experts are providing dynasty, season-long betting, best ball, and NFL draft content every day of the year to give you an edge, regardless of what type of fantasy football you play. Save 10% at rotoexperts.com with promo code FNTSY. That's 10% off with promo code FNTSY. It's the NFL 365 fantasy football package only at rotoexperts.com. All right. Gotta love Rush there, George.
I'm a Rush guy. I probably have my top 20 bands, but I enjoy the music. You said
easily.
Could listen to Rush on a Sunday morning, but for me, you know, could listen to Rush on any day. I'm good with Rush.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, one of the bands that, you know, like if you haven't listened to them for a while, then you hear one song, then like, wait, I got to hear this one. And then all of a sudden you listen to Rush for like an hour. Nothing wrong with that, but a very, very good band. Definitely makes my top 20 as well. So we talked Todd Gurley, and just an FYI, I didn't mean to insinuate that Todd Gurley had some kind of mental issue, but there were stories about him, you know, with his head not being in the game and whatnot. So what about Antonio? Speaking of head cases, Antonio Brown, Raiders, Redskins, and Titans are reportedly just some of the teams that are showing interest in trading for him right now. He has said that he wants to go to a team that has a chance to win. Based on the draft pick situation, the Raiders seem to have the best shot at putting together a deal that would be attractive to the Steelers. We'll see if Brown would be interested there. Brown's still speaking out like a numbskull in an interview with the ESPN. Says he doesn't need the game of football. He wants it, but he doesn't need it. And if the quote here was, if they're going to play, they're going to play by my rules. Whoever they is, whatever, I guess maybe the world outside, whatever. But this interview that he gave the ESPN, not going to make it any easier for the Steelers to make a trade for for the Steelers to trade Brown away and get good value for him.
You would think his agent by now would have told Brown to shut the hell up. Because every time he talks, he makes it much more difficult for the Steelers to trade him. And he makes it much more difficult for an acquiring team to want him because he's drama. I mean, so much baggage comes along with him. I mean, it's amazing. He's a great player. Great player. But he's hurting himself. He doesn't realize he's hurting himself. All right? It's just there's a reason why teams aren't going to be lining up to give away a number one pick for him because he's a problem. Right. You know, it's Terrell Owens all over again. Yes, he's worse than Terrell Owens right about now. You know, so he's got some issues and there are different ways to play this. He could have been lying. He should have been just lying about everything. If he truly believes he's not the problem in Pittsburgh with Ben, because he said, I accept no blame.
Well, that's another big part of that.
Automatically means you're a head case, by the way. There's very few situations where it's all on one person. And I said, I don't like Ben. I think Ben's an ass. And I certainly think Ben deserves his share of the blame, but it's not all his fault either. You know, there's plenty of blame to go around here between Ben, between Brown, Tomlin allowing it to happen. You know, there's plenty of blame to go around here. Hell, the GM saying Ben can pretty much dress down anybody he wants. It's amazing how much the Steelers organization has deteriorated.
So the problem comes from the top. Yeah, a little bit,
It's amazing.
You know, seems that way.
You don't expect this from the Cowboys, not the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I just find this amazing that it's the Steelers that this is happening to. You know, there are just organizations like the Steelers, the Giants, that have always done it right. I mean, sure, they made little mistakes along the way. Crap happens when you have 80 players. You know, it's things are going to go slip through the cracks and happen here. But generally, you know, those strong organizations have been strong organizations. Mainly it's the same owners, the Maras, the Rooneys, and, you know, respect happens there. The Cowboys with Jerry Jones, you know, it's always a circus. The Yankees under George Steinbrenner, always a circus and crap was happening. You just don't expect this with Pittsburgh and to see this over and over again. The first thing I think of is, A, he's making sure he won't go back to Pittsburgh or that Pittsburgh has to trade him. Yeah, I think that's the first thing that came up my mind of why he keeps talking. But he doesn't understand how hard he's making it for the Steelers. Now, you mentioned Raiders. We talk about it again. Three number one picks. Obviously, the number four is not going for Brown. But 24, 27 could be in play. But let me ask you this. Brown's 30, going to be 31. How happy is he going to be going to the Raiders? They're not getting any better in the next couple of years. All right. Mm-hmm. Plus, they're playing in Oakland, the next year in Vegas. They won't be good until he's 33, 34. And what will he be? Mm-hmm. How thrilled will the Raiders be to go after that? Knowing that by the time they're really ready to compete with the Chiefs, you know, with the Chargers. Chargers will probably have their issues when Rivers retires. But by the time they're really ready to compete, Brown's likely on the downside. You know, so does it make any sense for them to give up a top pick? I think not. Mm-hmm. You know, the Titans, it does. I think the Titans, it does. But are they going to want to give up 19? They're not going to give up the 19th pick. And you're giving up 51? Sure, you might give up 51, but is that what Steelers want? So I just don't know if I see a you mentioned the Redskins, too. They got to get a quarterback first. I think they're at it until they get a quarterback. Talk to me when they get a quarterback. But they're not, once again, they're not giving up 15, which puts them now, are they giving up 47? I'm sure they would. Mm-hmm. That'd be a deal that I would make if I'm the Redskins, but I don't know if Steelers will. The Steelers are going to want that number one pick. You know, and short of that, they're going to want a very, very high pick in the second round. But none of these teams have that. You know, San Fran at 30 would be picking 34, Jets 35. You know, or Raiders 36, but I'll say again.
What do the Bears have to offer?
Is Brown going to want to go to that sort of a team?
Right.
Bears in the first round pick, they made the playoffs. They pick even. Oh, they don't even have a first round pick, right? That's the Raiders. So that's done. Right. And now you're talking a very, very deep second round pick. So it would have to be something else.
Because that would be a good landing spot for him. A team that's already made the playoffs. He could be the icing on the cake. You know, help Trubisky. You know, even develop a little further. But I guess you're right that in terms of what they could throw back at the Steelers, you know, at least for now, wouldn't be enough.
Right. It's just tough to see a perfect landing spot here. Some people think of San Fran, but they've made no overtures yet. Yeah. You know, and another thing you got to think of, Joe. Hey, Joe, you're a GM of you know, let's just say you're a GM of the Niners, whatever, any team. Do you want to take on A, $21 million? Mm-hmm. B, as you said, you got taken on $21 million. You got to give up the compensation to get him, and then you got to take on the headache. Do you want to upset your locker room? I mean, this is a bigger, because let's face it, unless you're a GM, you know, Joe Gallina is the GM. Unless you're a GM, you know, Joe Gallina is always a Hall of Fame GM. That's different. You're Bill Polian, it's different. But if you're Joe Gallina, a normal GM that's just starting out, this is make a break. You trade for Antonio Brown, it doesn't work out. Guess what Joe Gallina is? Joe Gallina's ex-GM.
Right.
You know, and so that's got to play into this as well. There are so many. This is a story into itself. This is why the NFL is just intriguing every year, because we always have something like this. You know, where's he going to go? What's going to happen? You know, it's a storyline. It's a huge storyline here. I truly believe he's playing himself out here. Of Pittsburgh. He wants to make sure he's going out. I think he doesn't realize how hard he's making it for Pittsburgh, but he's playing himself out here. He'd have been better off when he had that meeting with Rooney, just to say, you know, listen, do it. Because Rooney said at the end of the deal, okay, we're going to part our ways and then just be quiet. Take Rooney at his word. If it didn't happen, all right, and you want to start mouthing, you have to make sure it happens, fine. But take Rooney at his word, you know, that it's going to happen here. And other than that, he's sort of just imploding thing here. Listen, for us, it's fun to watch. But he's important.
Yes. Hey, you know, Patriots have 12 total selections in this upcoming NFL draft. Maybe not top guys.
I was all over Blewett about this last week, man. They won't trade him to New England, but Mike Blewett's a Pittsburgh fan, for anybody who doesn't know. And I was trying to get him to say that he would trade him to New England. He wouldn't bite. But it does make the most sense, doesn't it? Doesn't it make the most sense to trade him there? Mm-hmm. I think it does.
We'll see. Don't count the Patriots out. this is what makes them a great organization. They,
the Patriots would do it. The Patriots would do it in a heartbeat. They'd give 32. Yeah. Obviously, they won the Super Bowl. They get picked 30. They would give up 32 for Brown, and Brown could be the new Randy Moss, right? A malcontent every place else who behaves in New England. It makes perfect sense. The New England would get Pittsburgh gets their number one pick. New England gets their great player here, but Pittsburgh can't do it. I mean, if you're a Tom Brady, you know, so many people hate New England and Tom Brady, you're praying this doesn't happen, because the AFC is over then. They're going to Super Bowl again.
Yes.
Right? I mean, right now it's probably either them or Kansas City anyway. So it would just be over. But it's funny how this really looks like it could work out that way. That eventually, it's sort of, once again, you have a GM at Pittsburgh, Joe. Think about it. The best you get offered here, let's say, is that a mid-second round pick or New England. And New England offers you a one and like a fifth.
Yeah.
I mean, do you have to bite the bullet and go, oh, this is unbelievable? I can see it working out this way, by the way, because I'm Bill Belichick. I'm putting the pressure on. I'm putting the pressure on Pittsburgh. You want a number one? We'll give you a number one. And I'll even throw in a five. You mentioned they have all these extra picks. They don't want them all anyway. I'll give you a one and five. You know, and then what do? Do you take the one and five from the team that's, I guess you could say, your biggest rival, your biggest obstacle to get to the Super Bowl, and you're pretty much assuring that you can't beat them? Or do you take a lesser deal from a team you're not worried about? I mean, once again, this is great theater.
Yes. And you know what? I mean, the Steelers are pretty good in the past of finding good value deeper into the draft, right? Wasn't Brown maybe a six-rounder?
Steelers have been excellent at finding receivers late in drafts. They've been outstanding at it. So, yes, to answer your question, I don't know if Brown was a six-round. I don't remember offhand. But they've been very good at finding receivers late. So that plays into their listen, they're not desperate for it. They got James Washington, you know, a guy who I kind of like.
I like Washington.
Could develop.
Yeah.
Right? I like Washington as well. Obviously, Smith-Schuster. I wasn't mentioning him. We know he's the number one now. You know, they're not in dire straits here. They're not. But it's for them. You still got to recoup value for Brown. You don't want to just let him go for zilch. So it's a great situation all around. It's great because, like I said, if I'm Belichick, not only am I doing this of giving up a number one to five, but I'm putting it out there because I want to destroy the Steelers too. I want to get the fan base angry if they can't get less. And plus, you know, hey, if they are going to trade with somebody else, I want someone else to beat my deal. Maybe it'll hurt that team. You know, if it's an AFC team, I want to hurt that team.
Great point.
I'm sure
the
Steelers are in a perfect world. They don't want to trade with New England. Of course, they don't want to trade to the Browns, the Ravens, or the Bengals. They want them out of the division. Hell, they want them out of the AFC. They want to do what New England did with Garoppolo. They sent Garoppolo to cross country to the other conference. That's what they would love to do with Brown, where they never have to hear from
different
him again once every 4 years.
Right. Yeah. All right. It's amazing how we talk about the Steelers every week, but we have to. There's new stuff that comes out every week. But let's talk about your Cowboys. Jason Witten ending his retirement, rejoining your Cowboys. I like the fact that he used the words burning and fire in terms of his desire to play football, and that was one of the reasons he came back. I mean, those words burning and fire are the same words that could be used for his broadcasting career, right? Because, you know, it's almost like both sides, he and ESPN, could just walk away right now and not have to openly admit that, you know, his foray into broadcasting was an epic fail.
See, I think, once again, people are way, way too hard on Witten. All right, I think this was screwed up by a lot of sides here. Witten was bad, but it was his first. He should have never gone from player to Monday Night Football. That's crazy.
Right.
I mean, that's
the problem
just,
is that Tony Romo did so well, so quickly. I think that right away he gets compared to him. I think that's part of it as well. Don't get me wrong. I feel bad for Witten, especially in this day and age where you just read on Twitter how you suck as a broadcaster. And
I don't feel bad for
him. Now you make me feel bad. Now you make me feel bad. All right, thanks.
Well, what I'm trying to say is, and I was going to get to the Romo thing as well because you're right about that. And this is going to be for everybody, by the way. If Greg Olsen were to retire, he's going to be compared to Tony Romo. And it's unfair. Yes, Romo ended up being a natural at it. All right, such is life. Get over it. Not everybody is. Witten made a lot of mistakes, no doubt. He wasn't horrendous, by the way. He wasn't. He just wasn't good. He probably would have gotten better. Yeah, but the whole Monday Night Football thing was a joke. And the Booger McFarlane and the Booger Mobile was the stupidest thing ever. And ESPN wouldn't really admit it for 14, 15 weeks until they finally got rid of it. It was dumb. It was just dumb. I mean, I don't know why ESPN, or really anybody, football sells itself. You don't need gimmicks, okay? You don't need it. Just let it go. You know, let football be football, and you'll be just fine here. So, like I said, I thought it was silly there. But, you know, Witten, I think he would have gotten better, but I don't think ESPN should ever be hiring anybody straight from, you know, the football field. Because, once again, you're hoping to get a Romo, but that's rare. It's completely rare.
Unless it's a true three-man booth where, you know, that third person who's a former player in his first year of broadcasting, you could ease him into it, you know? He doesn't have to be the guy that you go to for color.
The problem is when you're hiring someone like Witten who has that much, you know, former Cowboy, Hall of Fame tight end, people are going to want to hear him. You're not going to be able to ease him into it. He really just started off on CBS or Fox as like, you know, the third man, third team. You're not covering a whole bunch of national games here, and you work your way up, like most jobs. You know, but I understand they can't do that. ESPN only has the one game. But I'm not surprised this thing failed, and I won't be surprised the next person they do fails. Because I think they want Greg Olsen badly. I won't be surprised if he fails. I think Peyton Manning would have succeeded, because I think he's good with that sort of thing. I think he would have succeeded, but he didn't want to do it. Didn't want to make the commitment, and I don't blame him for doing it. When I first
maybe
heard
he's
this,
waiting for Eli to retire. He doesn't want to have to talk bad about his brother.
I don't think he's worried about that at all. But I don't think, hey, you got all that money, Joe. Do you want to work every week?
Right.
You know, have to go travel to the game. You know, it's a couple, I don't think I'd want to do it either. So I don't blame him.
Right.
But when I first heard this show about Witten, I mean, was it Thursday? I'm like, this is a joke, right? This is a joke. This is not true.
Yeah, I agree.
And then it's the Cowboys. Like, are you kidding? And I love Jason Witten as a player. Loved him, Joe. He's one of my favorite players. Hall of Fame guy. Great guy.
No reason not to.
But I also said, and I might have said it to you on one of these shows, the reason why the Cowboys got bad was because Dez and Witten was old and slow. Yeah, Witten and Dez may be more because of injury, but Witten is just old and slow, and you need speed in today's NFL. I think the Cowboys took a step back by taking Witten on.
Great blocker, especially at the end of his career as well. So, but yeah, I mean, look. As you get older, you get a little slower. Well, when we come back, we'll finish discussing some NFL news, a little combine news, and we'll get back to fantasy baseball as well. You're listening to the Roto Experts.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your Daily Roto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Roto Experts in the Morning. And just another brick in the wall, brick by brick by brick. Talking a little fantasy sports.
Interesting
with you,
version
of
interesting version there.
Yeah. I could picture myself like on an elevator here in this kind of thing, right? Maybe, but the volume down a little bit.
I liked
bit,
it.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, it didn't
I
hate
liked it. But
yeah.
it was a different version.
So let's talk more football. Then we can get back to baseball. Even though I'm enjoying this football talk, to tell you the truth, just shows you know how interesting football is this time of year, even in the off season. Travis Kelce, basically just about if not the best tight end in football, had some cleanup surgery on his ankle. Expected to miss the OTAs, but should be fine for the start of training camp. So I don't think we have to spend much time on that. But Alex Collins having some trouble, running back for the Ravens. He was released after being arrested, crashed his Corvette into a tree, cited for possession of more than 10 grams of marijuana, intent to distribute marijuana, which that's the penalty. That's the penalty.
The penalty. Nice.
Yeah, I combined felony and penalty. So that's a felony charge right there. Intent to distribute is also charged with possessing a handgun. So let's face it, I don't know if you're ever going to see this guy on an NFL field again, but you might. But he's definitely going to have to serve some kind of a suspension. So I guess if you're you own Gus Edwards in a dynasty league, you don't take a you're not happy that this happened to Collins, but to make Edwards' position a little stronger.
Yeah, I mean, listen, athletes just don't get it. They just don't get it. I mean, it's amazing. And you make all this money. Why don't you hire somebody to drive you? You know, why don't you just hire someone to drive? I mean, how much is it to hire somebody for a night? You know, just say, hey, drive me around. I'm going to be in the club. You hang out outside. I mean, it's not that difficult. There are plenty of services you can do. Hell, call Uber. You don't even have to pay that much. I just don't get it. I just don't understand, Joe. You know, it's you would think you want to protect your money. you know, your income. Because generally, as a football player, you have a short shelf life anyway. You're not playing football for 20 years. Hell, you're not playing it for 15. I think the average football player is for less than 4 years. You know, so you're not playing that long. Why do you take chances with your money? You know, you protect that. You do everything you do, everything you can to protect that money. You worry about all the other crap afterwards. That's why it's so hard. You know, Dallas had two people suspended this week, David Irving and Randy Gregory. Irving's got more problems than just substance abuse. Gregory is all substance abuse. It's just, yeah, it's hard to understand. It's hard to understand. Obviously, it's addiction. It's hard to get by it. You know, but obviously the gun charge is something completely different here. But when it comes to this, all these driving things. Why didn't you hire somebody? Why didn't you hire somebody? If you know you're going to go out drinking,
amazing,
you know you're
the dumb decisions that are made. Yes.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I got to tell you, if I'm an NFL player, I'm probably hiring somebody all the time. I don't want to drive anyway. I want to relax, do what I got to do. And I don't get it. It's just, it's hard for me to understand. And it happens over and over and over again.
Yep. Nick Foles is a free agent, right? Eagles announced that they won't be using the franchise tag on him. So right now, it seems that the Jags are the favorite landing spot for Foles, but we'll see. At least that's according to Adam Schefter. Remember, John DeFilippo was hired as the Jaguars offensive coordinator. DeFilippo widely credited with helping Foles during his run as Philadelphia's quarterback coach. So, I mean, if he ends up being a starting quarterback for the Jags next season, is he a top 12 quarterback for you, maybe top 15? Perhaps, George? Foles?
I loved the press conference of the Eagles when they said they were they weren't going to make him a franchise. They act like they were doing him the biggest favor in the world. You know, he deserves. He wants to be a starter. He deserves to be a quarterback. What they forgot to tell you is that, well, we can't franchise because we'd have to release about four other players. They forgot to mention that little part. They forgot to mention that they screwed him over by making him buy his free agency out for $2 million. And they took away $2 million out of his pocket. You know, they neglected to mention these little facts. So I just find this whole thing, it's all PR again. That's why believing anybody is silly in professional sports. It's not just football, by the way, in anything. Because they made themselves sound like they were being so generous. We're allowing Nick Foles to be a quarterback with somebody else. We're not going to franchise him because we're so nice. Bullshit. Okay? Teams don't care about anything but themselves. If they could have fit him under the cap, he'd be with the Eagles. They would have screwed him over easily. Okay, that's why it's all bull. But it was funny. I was just laughing. I'm like, oh, yeah, you're the only organization in sports that's just worried about the player. You know, you're not worried about yourself. I mean, it's just all, like I said, it was all bull. So I found that funny. Anyway, I think the Jacksonville Jaguars are the favorite. He has a former coach that's there, so that should work well for him. He seems to need that. He's the bomb, and he doesn't have his former coaches someplace else. Actually, he's really bombed every place outside of Philadelphia. Yeah. So maybe it won't matter no matter where he's playing. So we'll see how that works out for Mr. Foles here. I ask, no, he won't be a top 12 play. That's easy for me. Quarterback is deep. Quarterback is really deep. Mm-hmm. So he won't be top 12 for me. And the Jaguars don't have the receivers to make him really that worthwhile. As far as that's concerned, he'll be a quarterback two in Superflex and in two quarterback leagues. Someone I won't mind starting, but I think he's at the bottom end of that, more in that 18 to 24 range than he is closer to 12 here. I think the jury's still out. You know I have my doubts about Foles, although, boy, he did play well with the Eagles there. But I have my doubts about another team here and how he can make this work.
You brought up some great points. I mean, you wonder how he's going to fare outside of the Philly system, so the Eagle system. So it will be interesting to see what happens there. But, Jags, perfect landing spot. Yeah, DeFilippo knows him well. He's had success with him, so we'll see. So that leads us to some talk about some quarterbacks at the Combine, some highlights from the Combine. Obviously, the number one guy everybody was talking about, was Kyle Murray, quarterback. Didn't take part in any drills at the combine. His height came in at 5'10 and an eighth, I believe. Weight came in at 207 pounds. So he's added about 10 plus pounds, since the end of the college season. His hands, 9.5 inches. And you know, we laughed about it, but it is important. You brought up some points earlier. Very good. Just in comparison of some quarterbacks that are considered to be vertically challenged. Russell Wilson, 5'10 and 5'8, 204 pounds. His hand is 10 and 1 quarter inch, so he's got that bigger hand, able to grip the ball a little bigger. Baker Mayfield, who Kyler Murray took over for, 6 feet and 5'8 inches, 215 pounds. His hand is 9 and a quarter. Just to give you a base for which to compare. John Elway came out this week, hinted that Murray might not be a good fit for his offense because he thinks that height comes into play when taking snaps from under center. Look, Elway, great quarterback on the field. In terms of choosing them, it's got a bit of a spotty record right now. And we talked about the rumors going around.
Spotty.
That the Cardinals.
It's terrible.
Yeah, right. I'm trying to be kind.
Awful.
You know? Yeah.
Terrible.
So
bad.
We talked. Not good. Not good.
Not good. Yeah. But, not good. You're waiting to describe it. Over six, by my count.
Yeah. So one evaluator, because, you do research and doing the show, bring up the fact that he felt that his lack of height, Murray's lack of height, made it seem like he didn't get a good read on the middle of the field and sometimes makes him lock onto one target and not, see if anything else is developing on the field. I mean, what do you think about in terms of his stature? I mean, like maybe 10 years ago, the rules were different. There weren't that many protections with the quarterback. Do you think that 10 years ago would be harder for him to be successful? Do you think it's going to be a big deal for him in transitioning to an NFL quarterback? I mean, he got the big arm. He's accurate. He's mobile. What do you think about him?
I think it's there's some gamble. Listen, any quarterback you take, there's some gamble. You never know. We've had plenty of guys who had plenty of height. Ryan Leaf, you can go on and on and on. Rick Meyer,
sure.
Guys who had height up the wazoo who we thought were going to be good quarterbacks who bombed. So you never really know. Mm-hmm. That being said, there's more problems for Murray because not only does he have that, but he doesn't have the height. Your offensive linemen are all 6'4", 6'5", and above. There are very few short offensive linemen, and same thing go through for defensive linemen. So seeing down the field is going to be tougher for him. It's going to be tougher. Yet he's incredibly gifted athletically. But he's 207 pounds. This is not Cam Newton. All right. I mean, even with Cam Newton, we've seen all the injuries that he has from all the hits he's taken. He's 207 pounds. You mentioned he gained 10 pounds from college. I don't know if that's good weight or bad weight. I assume it's good weight. Because I think I don't think he'd have gone to the combine if it was bad weight. So I'm fairly certain it's good weight there. But still, he's 207 pounds. That's not big by NFL standards.
Mm-hmm.
All right, it's not. All right, if he's going to take hits by running out of the pocket, he's not going to make it. It's that simple. Mm-hmm. He's going to have to learn to throw. And, listen, there'll be a designed offense to get him outside, throw on the run, move the pocket, and that's fine. But you can't do that for 60 plays a game. So that's going to be the issue there. Can he learn to throw inside the pocket while being 5'10"? It won't be easy. I hope he can make it. We all want the good athletes to make it. We certainly do. Maybe the Oakland A's don't, but everybody else does. So it'll be interesting. If you're asking me, would I take with the number one pick? Yeah, I probably would, because I think, once again, quarterback-driven league, you need – no matter what quarterback you take there. When was the last time a quarterback came out that truly was the best overall player? It's rare. Just because a quarterback goes number one every year, they're generally not the best overall player. Generally, it is a running back, or it is a defensive lineman, or it is the wide receiver, whatever it might be. Last year, the number one pick was Barkley. He didn't go number one because, once again, a quarterback always does. Because you need to take a chance there. I think the last time I would say a quarterback, I've done no research on this. This is purely a guess by my point. But the last time a quarterback might have been the true number one overall player was probably Andrew Luck with Indianapolis. I remember he had all the hype coming out that he was going to be the next god.
Right.
And that seems to be pretty accurate despite the injuries.
Yeah, he adjusted to the NFL fairly quickly, yes.
Fairly quickly. He was more your prototypical guy. He's really a guy that everybody kind of wants. He has the size and the mobility, not the speed. He's not in Kyler Murray or anybody like that, but he has escapability and can run a little bit. He's what the guy everybody wants, who has everything you need. You don't want a statue back there. You don't want a Troy Aikman in this day and age. Pretty much any quarterback back in the day. You want someone, a Joe Montana type. Once again, has a little bit of everything. That's really what you're looking for there. You know, Steve Young. Well, Steve Young is probably asking too much because he had a lot of mobility. But you get my point. So, like I said, I think it's going to be hard for Murray. I don't think it'll be easy. He needs to be in the right coach, the right system. And I do wonder if Kingsbury is that guy. You know, because Kingsbury really likes him. I think Kingsbury used him correctly. I don't think he'd want to go to a team with an established head coach that really just wants, you know, 3-5-7-step drop. I don't think that's going to be good for him. You know, I think he'll need a coach that – he wouldn't want to go to Jason Garrett in Dallas. Hell no. Right. You know, there's no inventiveness whatsoever. Although now they got Kellen Moore. But so I think he'd need to go to the right system. I do wonder if – I think Arizona could be the right place for him because I think he'd have a coach there who would use him correctly.
Got to build up that offensive line, man. You know, give him time.
Well, they have a lot of holes but there. He's not the final answer, that's for sure.
Right. So I don't think that Josh Rosen, even if he's not going to be on the team, you know, probably not given a fair shake, just like their former head coach wasn't given a fair shake as well, just you know, 1 year and gone. But what do you think about Murray's decision not to take part in any physical drills, the throw and whatnot? You know, some people saying, well, you know, maybe that extra 10 pounds might have affected, you know, his physical mobility. I don't know. It's only 10 pounds. I don't see it really affecting him that much. But what do you think that says about him not throwing, you know? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
The college season ended 2 months ago. All right. So if he's been on the banquet circuit a little bit, eating that 10 pounds is, a little extra steak, chicken, lobster, fine. He'll work it off. You know, and if that's why he's waiting, fine. But we see a lot of players, they want to do it at their pro day, in their environment, in their comfort zone. Now, listen, that's smart. When you know you're going high in the draft anyway, why do anything you don't have to that you're not comfortable with? So I think that's just a smart move, and do it. Well, regardless of the 10 pounds, whether it's good weight or bad weight, regardless, I think his agent probably advised him that. I think the height thing was smart. Get that out of the way. You know, it's where you are what you are. You're not going to get any taller, right? You're not going to get any taller next month. So get it out of the way. This way it won't be a topic of conversation after the first couple of days, which is really not anymore, and you move on. So I think, once again, having the comfort zone of his pro day at his college where he's been playing, you know, he knows everything. Hopefully you pick the right weather day. It doesn't rain, not windy, and you go from there. Rather than do it at the combine where maybe you've never played in Indianapolis before. You know, you never played in that field. So I think that is the smart play there.
In the couple minutes we have left, two other guys that stood out, and, you know, we'll cover more of this in upcoming shows as the draft approaches. But obviously DK Metcalf, wide receiver, was kind of like one of the superstars of the combine. 1.9% body fat, basically. You know, you saw pictures of him looking like Superman without the padding that some of the guys who've played Superman in the past, right? 4.33 time on his 40-yard dash, which is excellent for a guy his size, 6'3", 228. Raiders showing some interest. Raiders have been basically linked to a lot of players, Antonio Brown, Tyrell Williams, and another guy that showed well at the combine so far, running back Justice Hill from Oklahoma State. These are all tops for running backs at the combine. His 4.4 40-yard dash, 40-foot vertical jump, 10-foot 10-inch vertical jump. So he had to cut his workout after he sustained a hamstring injury. But these guys really showed well at the combine there, George.
They did. I mean, Metcalf is extremely intriguing. All right. Now you mentioned the Raiders. You know, we joke about Carr. You know, is he the franchise quarterback? Is he not? Well, in some ways, it's hard to judge him because they haven't surrounded him with anything. Right? I mean, he doesn't have many weapons to throw to here. The one weapon he did have, you traded away. So, you had Metcalf there. I think that guy's a beast. Could be more intriguing there. And one thing about the Raiders, they'll be attached to everybody because with those extra picks, they can trade up in the first round to get really whoever they want.
Absolutely. All right. We'll come back. Switch gears. Go back to fantasy baseball. Listening to Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.